inside.
Right, boss. Through here, you say?
Yes, Mr. Clancy.
Well, there she is, boss. Lying on the floor with a knife in her throat.
Yes. Nita Holland was probably sitting in that overturned chair, Mike, when she was attacked. Let's have a look at those teacups on the table. We better not touch them, however. There may be fingerprints on the china.
Well, it looks as though the lady was reading tea leaves when she was murdered, Mr. King.
Yes, Mike. I'd say there was a pretty good chance that the killer was having the future forecast by Mrs. Holland. Mike, look inside this cup.
Neither. Tea leaves are still inside, boss.
Now look inside the other cup. The one that may have been used by the killer.
Well, sure, and there are tea leaves in that one too, sir.
Along with something else.
You mean them little black things?
Yes. Cloves, Mike. Judging by the odor.
Cloves? Well, now, what would cloves be doing inside a teacup?
Well, a murderer evidently has an odd taste for the flavor of cloves in his tea. That might mean the difference between his escape and the electric chair.
Well, I don't see anything else in the room that might be used as a clue, Mr. Keene.
Let's find out where that door leads to.
Well, there's a staircase going up to the second floor.
Evidently leads to that apartment Jack Holland mentioned. Let's go up and see what it looks like.
This fellow's story don't gel all the way through, if you ask me, boss. Sure, he's more worried about himself than he is about finding his wife's murderer.
And he knows he's in a bad spot, Mike.
Here's another door, boss.
This must be the apartment where Anita Holland used to live.
Looks as though it's only used as a storeroom now. Look at all them tables and chairs piled up over there. And the waitress's uniforms.
Mike, I just noticed something else. There's a woman's purse on that bureau. Open that closet door in the corner.
Yes, sir.
Well, we got company. Come out of that closet, young lady.
I haven't done anything. I've only taken what belongs to me.
Who are you?
My name is Nancy Webb. I worked downstairs in the tea room as a waitress. I came back to get my uniforms. That's all. They belong to me.
Nancy Webb. Mr. Keene, this must be the girl Mrs. Holland was jealous of.
Yes, Mike, she is.
Mr. Keene? You're Mr. Keene, the great investigator?
Why were you hiding in that closet just now?
I was afraid someone would think I was trying to rob the tea room. But I swear I've told you the truth. I'm not a thief. Mrs. Holland will vouch for that much.
Mrs. Holland is dead, Nancy.
Dead?
You didn't know that?
How could I know it, Mr. Keene?
How did you get into this apartment? Through the tea room?
What? No, sir. I came in the back way.
Mr. Keene, the police are downstairs. They... Nancy.
Jack, how could you?
How could I what?
No matter how you loved me, you shouldn't have killed her.
What's she talking about, Mr. Keene?
Nancy Webb is apparently accusing you, Jack, of murdering your wife.
Jack, you should have known they'd catch you.
Well, she's out of her mind, Mr. Keene. She doesn't know what she's saying.
We'll find out in very short order. Meanwhile, we go downstairs and see the police. I may as well tell you now, Jack, that you are under strong suspicion of having murdered your wife.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mr. Keene and the Tea Leaf murder case. Meanwhile, it's a sensational medical achievement. It's Kryptin, K-R-I-P-T-I-N, the antihistamine wonder drug that, taken at the start, can kill a cold. Kill it the way no previous cold tablet, no aspirin, quinine, or chest rub could ever do. In tests at the United States Naval Hospital, Great Lakes, Illinois, Kryptin was preferred by patients over all other formulas tested. For spectacular results, take Kryptin at the first sign of a cold. Today at your druggist, get Kryptin. Handy pocket size, only 29 cents for 10 tablets. 50 tablets, 98 cents. Less than 2 cents a tablet. Now back to Mr. Keene and the Tea Leaf murder case. Mr. Keene, the famous investigator, and his partner, Mike Clancy, are investigating the murder of Anita Holland, who was stabbed to death in her tea room. Mr. Keene believes that the victim was forecasting the future by means of tea leaves when the killer struck. One of the clues that Keene has discovered consists of several clothes the murderer had evidently added to his teacup. While Mr. Keene and Mike were examining the scene of the crime, Jack Holland, the victim's young husband, was accused of the murder by Nancy Webb, a pretty waitress. And Holland is being held under suspicion by the police. And now, several hours later, in the office which Mr. Keene shares with Mike Clancy.
You remember me, Mr. Keene?
Yes, of course. You're Paul Stevens, the manager of Anita Holland's tea room.
That's right, sir.
You've met my partner, Mike Clancy?
Oh, sure. We met in the tea room a while ago.
Yes.
What can I do for you, Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Keene, perhaps I'm speaking out of turn now, but I don't believe Jack Holland killed his wife.
Well, he hasn't been indicted yet.
No, but I understand he's being held by the police on suspicion.
That's right, Mr. Stevens.
Well, I spoke to the court authorities before I came here and asked if I could get Jack Holland released on bail.
And what did they tell you?
They said that Jack had to have someone vouch for him. Someone of importance who would guarantee that he wouldn't try to escape or leave the country. And that's why I've come to you, sir. I'm willing to put up the bail if you'll stand behind Jack as a guarantee.
Mr. Stevens, are you a very close friend of Jack Holland's?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Then why are you going to all this trouble in his behalf?
It isn't much trouble, Mr. Keene. Actually, I don't have to put up the cash for the bail. A bonding house will do it for me. And I'm as much a believer in justice, sir, as you are.
But I suspect there's still another reason for your interest.
Well, I suppose it'll come out sooner or later, so I may as well tell you all about it now. Mr. Keene, I'm being blackmailed.
By whom?
Nancy Webb, the waitress who used to work at Anita Holland's tea room.
Why is she blackmailing you, Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Keene, she's accusing me of having had something to do with Anita Holland's murder. She's trying to say I was in love with Anita and may have killed her for marrying Jack.
Is any part of that true?
No, of course not. But Nancy can make things embarrassing for me unless I have Jack Holland's help.
But how can Jack help you?
Jack knows that Anita Holland had asked me to marry her long before she married Jack, and I turned her down. That ought to prove to anyone that I'm innocent.
In other words, you want Jack to testify to that?
Yes, Mr. Keene.
I see. Well, Mr. Stevens, do you happen to know where Nancy Webb, the waitress, is now?
She ordered me to meet her at the tea room at 10 tonight with $10,000 in cash.
$10,000? That's blackmail, all right.
Even if I wanted to give it to her, Mr. Clancy, I don't have that kind of money. But if Jack Holland is released and he knows I've been working on his behalf, he'll repay me by exposing Nancy Webb and her lies.
Well, I'll do what I can to help you, Mr. Stevens. But I can't promise you anything.
Well, the police will accept your word for it if you tell them that Jack won't try to run away, Mr. Keene.
I'll get in touch with the police and let you know.
Thank you, sir. Needless to say, I'm putting all my cards on the table by telling you about Nancy Webb's accusation.
I appreciate that, Mr. Stevens.
Well, thanks again, Mr. Keene. Goodbye, sir. Mr. Clancy.
Goodbye.
So long. Mr. Keene, this is one time you got me searching my brains for an answer, sir.
An answer to what, Mike?
Why didn't you tell this fellow Stevens that you'd already had young Jack Holland released from jail? You talked to the police over the telephone 10 minutes before Stevens walked in here.
Well, Mike, I had Jack Holland released for my own reasons. But I just assumed Paul Stevens and this girl Nancy Webb didn't know about it. You remember that invisible microphone I perfected some months ago?
Oh, the one the size of a thimble? That you can slip inside your vest pocket?
Yes. I want you to set up that microphone under a certain table in Mrs. Holland's tea room and arrange the lines so we can listen in on conversations from inside the cloakroom. You think you can manage it?
You just give me 1 hour alone in that tea room, boss, and I'll connect up the microphone so nobody will know it's there.
We'll get a key to the tea room from Jack Holland. He's waiting for us now in his apartment. I intend to go there and issue a few instructions to him, Mike. Instructions that may break this case and permit us to put our hands on Anita Holland's killer.
Here's the tea room key, Mr. Clancy.
Okay, Jack, young fella.
It's 7 o'clock, Mike. You have time to get inside the tea room and follow my instructions.
I'm on my way, sir.
And meet me in front of the tea room at 10:15, Mike.
Okay, boss. 10:15 sharp.
Oh, Mr. Keene, I can't tell you how grateful I am that you've had me released from jail.
You still have to prove yourself innocent, Jack.
I'll do anything you say, sir.
First of all, is it true that your wife was in love with her tea room manager, Paul Stevens, before your marriage?
Yes. She told me that herself, Mr. Keene. But, well, I suppose Paul Stevens preferred to stay single. Although he and Anita remained the best of friends.
Then he was telling the truth. And that disposes of one possible motive for murder. Now, what about you and the waitress, Nancy Webb?
Well, for some reason, Nancy became infatuated with me, Mr. Keene, but I never encouraged her. I tried to keep it quiet so Anita, my wife, wouldn't be upset, but she found out.
Your wife fired Nancy from her job, didn't she?
Yes, Mr. Keene, the day before Anita was murdered.
Well, you're going to rehire Nancy tonight.
Rehire her tonight?
At least temporarily. Now listen to what I have to say, because it's very important. Nancy Webb is going to meet Paul Stevens in the tea room at 10. I want you to be there, too.
Very well, Mr. Keene.
She'll undoubtedly start to blackmail Stevens.
Nancy will blackmail Paul Stevens?
Yes. And if he gets excited, you must be there to quiet things down. You ask Nancy to serve tea for all three of you. You'll all sit at the second table from the rear on the left side. Is that clear?
I think so, sir. But what about you?
I'll appear in due time, Jack, along with Mike Clancy. There's still several things about this case that puzzle me greatly. But perhaps I'll have the answers this evening. Have I kept you waiting long, Mike?
Oh, no, sir. I've been across the street. Well, Mr. Keene, I attached that invisible microphone. From the cloakroom, we can listen in on everything that goes on at that second table from the rear.
That's fine, Mike. All three of them should be inside the tea room by now. So we let ourselves in very quietly.
Cloakroom's over here, Mr. Keene. Here's the speaker on this chair, boss. It's attached by wire to the small microphone inside of the table.
Turn it on, Mike. Let's see if we can hear what they're saying.
You'll need to get hold of that money for me, Paul Stevens, or I'll turn you into the police.
If you think I'm going to stand for this blackmail, you're crazy, Nancy. I've got Jack Holland here to prove I was never in love with his wife. Am I right, Jack?
You're making a big mistake, Nancy.
Oh, am I, Jack? Well, we'll see. Paul Stevens, you murdered Jack's wife because she turned you down and married him.
Shut it off, Mike.
Right, boss.
Come on. It's time we made our first move. We'll join them at that table.
I'm giving you one more chance, Paul, until tomorrow morning. If you don't come across with the money by then, I'm heading for the police.
We'll escort you now, Miss Webb.
Mr. Keene.
I told you, Mr. Keene, she's a blackmailer.
She's more than that, Mr. Stevens. She may be a murderess, too.
What?
You know too much about Anita Holland and her affairs to suit me, Nancy Webb. And I'm turning you in on suspicions.
You've got no proof, Mr. Keene.
Of murder? No, not yet. But I do have proof of blackmail. Take her away, Mike.
Let's go, young lady.
It's a frame-up. You can't do this to me. It's a frame-up. That's what it is.
Well, you arrived at just the right time, Mr. Keene.
Yes, Mr. Stevens. You seem to have had a few violent moments with Nancy Webb.
Jack here calmed her down for a while. He even got her to serve us all some tea and talk things over calmly. But she started to get hysterical when she found out I wouldn't fall for her blackmail threats.
I feel so relieved that it's all in the open.
Well, I've got to hurry and accompany Mike to the police station with Nancy Webb. I'll call you both in the morning.
All right, Mr. Keene, and thank you for your help.
Good night, Mr. Keene.
Good night. Mike, you inside the cloakroom?
Right here, boss.
You released Nancy Webb?
Sure. I took her outside and told her to go on her way. So she's lucky we didn't haul her in for blackmail.
Right now, we've got bigger fish to fry. Mike, turn on that speaker again. Let's listen in through our invisible microphone to what Jack and Paul Stevens are saying.
Well, I'm going back to my apartment, Paul.
Just a minute, Jack. There's a little business you and I have to attend to.
Business? What kind of business?
Do you happen to know how close to the electric chair you are?
What?
One word from me and I can slap you right back in jail for good. They haven't got enough to convict Nancy.
What is this, Paul? What are you...
Now listen to me. I'm willing to give you a break if you cooperate. Your wife, Anita, own negotiable bonds. $100,000 worth. Where are they?
Boss, did you hear that?
Quiet, Mike.
I don't know anything about any bonds.
Don't hand me that. I used to keep Anita's books, and I know how much money she made. Most of the dough she made from this tea room in the last 10 years was salted away in bonds.
And if I did know where they are...
Paul Stevens, I'd hand them over to you. Paul Stevens, I'd hand them over to you. Paul Stevens, I'd hand them over to you. Paul...